Many of us are familiar with that commercial where an elderly woman who is on the floor in her kitchen cries out, "I've fallen and I can't get up." But it's really not a laughing matter. It's a big problem in Wisconsin, where we have the second highest death rate in the country of people over the age of 65 who have died after falling down. And according to numbers from the CDC, falls are the leading cause of non-fatal injuries for people 65 and older. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 9 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, September 22nd. Public health officials call it an epidemic, and we will talk about the problem and what we can do about it. We'll welcome your questions and maybe even your own experiences for our guest. Have you or has a loved one fallen and hurt yourself? What happened? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Betsy Abramson, the executive director of the Wisconsin Institute for Healthy Aging. She was quoted in a recent Milwaukee Journal Sentinel article, "Effort Fights Epidemic of Deadly Elderly Falls." Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So why are experts in Wisconsin calling these falls and elderly fall deaths an epidemic?
Because it's so, unfortunately, so common. One out of three older adults will fall across the country this year. And every 11 seconds in the United States, an older adult is admitted to an emergency department. Falls related injuries are the leading cause of death in Wisconsin, greater than the injury related deaths from car crashes.
I just can't get over that. Why in the world?
They're expensive they're devastating to individuals, and unfortunately, they are so common. In fact, the amount of money that Medicare spends on falls is nearly as much as they spend on cancer.
Why do we know why Wisconsin would have the second highest death rate due to falls?
Well, some folks say that we're just better at reporting it, that there's probably the same, comparable number of falls in other states as there are in Wisconsin, but we just have a better reporting system and have more compliance in reporting those falls. For example, if a fall happens in a nursing home or assisted living facility, some of the regulated facilities, regulators are required to report that right away, and in some states may not. And in fact, 25% of the falls in Wisconsin happen in nursing homes, but still 75% happen for the most part in people's own homes. Some folks speculate it has to do with our weather. That's been pretty much disputed. So our falls rate is as high in February, in August, as it is in February. And some think it may have something to do with our consumption of alcohol, even amongst older adults.
Oh, because that's what I was trying to understand, why falling down often in your own home, mm-hmm. Would be such a problem. But what are some other reasons why an older person might fall down besides alcohol?
Right. Weakened muscles, strength and balance issues that may be a huge culprit is the amount of medications that an average older adult is prescribed. Most experts suggest that folks get a medication review because invariably they find that they're on more medications than they need to be, or are on them at the wrong time, or a medication that doesn't also run the risk of falls can address the same problem without having what we call that fall risk-inducing impact. Vision is another problem for older adults. I think about how many of us who are aging or who are already older adults use bifocals. And what's the point of the bifocal is, of course, mostly for reading, looking out that lower part of the glasses. But that's also the part of the glasses you look through when you're scanning and walking ahead, and most importantly, when you're going downstairs. So the part of your glasses that you should be using only for looking at a book or a newspaper that's 8 inches away is also being used when you're going downstairs. A third reason is hazards in the home. Folks trip over cords. They trip over animals, you know, dogs, cats. They don't turn a light on when thinking, oh, well, I know by feel where the stairs are or how to get into the bathroom, and a fall is caused because of lack of light, tripping over cords, racing to get to the phone when, of course, we all have answering machines, tripping over a non-secured rug in your or thick carpeting, the wrong shoes. People who want to be stylish and are wearing shoes that they slip out of, you know, open back shoes or ones that are too high and fall because of that. So those are some hazards in the home.
You know, I'm not that far away from 65, and I did. I was just reminded of a time when I had been sitting at my desk at home, in playing with my computer, doing work on my computer, and I had a pair of new slippers on. I don't know if they were stylish or not. They were, but they had cats on them, so I thought they were very stylish. And
they sound adorable, Joy.
But they had a large platform, kind of a larger platform, and it was a little soft and unsteady. And I got up and I slipped off that little platform of this slipper, and I twisted my ankle. I mean, and I did fall, but I braced myself. I didn't, besides my ankle being a little bit sore, I really didn't hurt myself. But hey, if there was a coffee table and my head would have hit that coffee table, that would have been bad news.
Right. Or if you were 30 years older, that twisted ankle might have set you back further. And it definitely would have scared you into thinking, oh boy. And once you fall once, there's a high probability that you will fall again. And for some folks, falling, the fear of falling or the fear of falling after a fall can be as devastating as the fall. They will clam up, decide not to go out, walk in very small, teeny steps, never let go of anything as they're walking, and just stay more isolated. And, of course, then the muscles atrophy more, and it becomes quite a vicious circle. So I'm glad you got back up. Probably got some better slippers and are right back at it.
Yeah, I actually tossed those very fashionable cat
Good
slippers.
Job.
And I just talked about it, so I'm hoping our listeners will also talk a little bit about maybe they've had an experience where they've fallen at home or have a loved one that's fallen at home. What happened? Or what do you think about this problem? Are you surprised at all? What do you think we ought to do about this? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. And now, I twisted my ankle, and if I was 30 years older, you're right, it might have been a whole lot worse. But I'm also just trying to think why, falling down hurts, and you bump a knee or a hip or maybe your head if you hit the ground. But why are there deaths associated with falling down?
Well, as you said, sometimes you hit your head or you hit something worse. Usually an older adult has, the older you are, the better chance you have more comorbidities, more things going on with you. 95% of hip fractures are caused by falling, which often then starts a person in the cycle of the hip fracture, the hospital, nursing home, rehab, home care, that combined with other things will both depress older adults a lot about, you know, doing the physical therapy, having the will to keep going about it as well. And that will often put you on that much more medications because of something related to the fall and the cascade.
Yeah, so just to clarify, so a death from a fall could be many months later.
Oh, yes. and 50% of older adults who fall will die within the first year after the fall.
Oh, that's very sad. So, and a lot of people don't want to talk about this because they're afraid, you know, hey, maybe somebody's going to tell me I can't live alone in my home.
Exactly, Joy. I mean, I think for some people, and it's funny when you think about it, people will say, well, I didn't fall. It was an accident. Well, of course it was an accident. Nobody, you know, voluntarily plunges themselves to the floor and their head into the coffee table, you know, as you used as an example. But a fall is any time you find yourself in a lower horizontal plane than you had originally intended. So as you said, some people don't report it because they're embarrassed. Oh, it was, you know, what was I doing wearing those slippers? Or I fell in the bathroom and how embarrassing to have to explain, you know, what I was doing there. Or I was being silly thinking I could still wear those, you know, fancy shoes or.
Yeah, I get it. I'm going to jump in because we do have news next from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll take some calls on this issue of elderly falls. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about the elderly fall epidemic in Wisconsin. Wisconsin ranks second in the country in fall-related deaths for senior citizens. And the CDC says falls are the leading cause of non-fatal injuries for people 65 and older. We are talking about why this is a problem, and we will talk more about what we can do to reduce those numbers. And we're welcoming your questions and your own experiences at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Betsy Abramson, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Institute for Healthy Aging. She was quoted in a recent Milwaukee Journal Sentinel article, Effort Fights Epidemic of Deadly Elderly Falls. And we'll get into those efforts in a moment, but let's take some calls, as we do have many people who want to, who have questions or examples. Joe in Stevens Point is with us. Hi, Joe.
Hi. I am in my 30s, and my grandparents are getting close to 90. They both are still alive, both happily married after 60-plus years. But my grandfather is facing physical challenges, and my grandmother is facing mental ones as they're getting older. My grandfather was trying to get dressed, just putting his pants on in his room, and in doing so, fell onto a folding chair that was meant to be there to help steady himself. And it took him 2 weeks in the hospital to recuperate from the wounds from that. And the day after he got out, he found my grandma on the floor in the kitchen because she had a stroke. So she is currently recovering from surgery over that. And happily, luckily, she's healthy and doing great.
Was anything done to, help your grandfather avoid this type of fall in the future?
I don't know what plans we have going forward. I think that because of their age, we're probably looking at a different idea of care for them. Even though they do have their own house and are happy being on their own, I think we're getting to the point where the challenges of their health are more than they can handle.
Well, I hope that they'll start out. You said they're in Stevens Point, Joe? You're in Stevens Point. Where are they?
No, they are not.
Oh, okay. They're in Wisconsin?
Yes, in Wisconsin.
Okay. I would urge you and your family to contact your grandparents and with their permission and their interest to contact the county's aging unit or the Department on Aging, also in some places called the Aging and Disability Resource Center. They can tell them about programs and services that can help keep folks safer in their own homes and to prevent falls, including some of the community-based classes and workshops that they have, exercise classes to make them stronger, and our flagship falls prevention program called Stepping On. For example, if your grandfather had taken that workshop, he would have known, and they would have helped him understand on his own, that a folding chair is not a steady object to balance yourself on, that he needs something much sturdier to use to balance himself as he's getting dressed, or other techniques, maybe to pull your pants on while you're sitting on the bed before you stand up. They also need to see a doctor to do a full falls evaluation. It could be that they'll test their gait and their strength. It could be vision. It could be that one or both of them are ready for a walker, whether it be more steady, the kind of walker with the tennis balls on the bottom, or the rollator that they have that they can walk with as well. So I would definitely encourage you. It sounds like, anybody makes it to 60 years of happy marriage in their own home, I'm sure your family is not trying to preemptively or prematurely move them, but let's see what resources and services are available if we can keep them at home a little longer with some of these other support. That aging unit might also be able to help them arrange for some care in the home that comes in a couple times a week to provide them some assistance, so they're not risking dangerous things like climbing onto the table to reach something they don't need to, or doing some cleaning or something that might put them in a more compromised position. So yeah, there's lots of resources out there.
Good luck, Joe, to you and your yeah, grandparents. And I'm glad he called, and that's why I
very
asked
much.
Was to find out if someone, an older person, falls down, is hospitalized because of serious injuries, whether there would be some sort of information or program that person would be put through, so we could do things like that to make sure to try to prevent them from happening again.
Well, that's a good point, Joy. Sometimes when you walk down hospital hallways now, you'll see little cutouts of leaves that are taped to the door. That means that person in the hospital is a falls risk, and that the hospital staff should be attentive to the fact that the person is at risk for falls. I often wonder, my own mother has been in the hospital, has had the leaf there, but nobody has talked to her about she's a falls risk in the hospital, she's going to be a falls risk when she goes home too. So the idea of both screening folks for being a falls risk and then offering appropriate interventions, which is why the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel did the article yesterday, and we had a press conference at the Capitol about it. The CDC has come up with a new clinical module that has been built into the electronic health records of Epic, our neighbor here in Madison, that can screen people for falls risk and then put them in the, recommend to them the appropriate intervention. Do they need physical therapy? Do they need strength and balance training? Should they see, talk to their doctor more about their medications and figure out whether those are causing the problems, as well as recommending them into one of our community-based programs, like, as I mentioned, our flagship evidence-based falls prevention program offered throughout Wisconsin, which is called Stepping On. And Joe's grandparents would be good candidates for that, too. It's a group of peers who go through a 7-week evidence-based workshop, learning all about strength and balance exercises, practicing those, the importance of a vision review, a medication review, and get armed with toolkits and checklists to go through their own home and make decisions about making their home a little more fall-proof.
Yeah. I just realized that when you mentioned the fall leaf on the hospital door, mm-hmm, and that today is the first day of fall, and if I'm not mistaken, the steady tools and mm-hmm falls awareness day, steady standing for stopping elderly accidents, deaths, and injuries, is mm-hmm today.
That's right. Today, this is September, is Falls Prevention Awareness Month, and today, the first day of fall is Falls Prevention Awareness Day. The governor has issued a proclamation about September being Falls Prevention Awareness Month, and that's why you were so prescient, Joy, you and your producer, in planning this call for today, the first day of fall, when hopefully your listeners become more aware of both the public health epidemic that falls are and that falls are not a normal part of aging. They can be prevented, and we have many tools here in Wisconsin to help folks.
Yeah. You know, poor Joe's grandfather ended up in the hospital, but I mean, if someone falls, we talked a little bit earlier that there might be a reluctance to talk to a doctor about that happening because of embarrassment or fear of being put in a nursing home or something like that.
Right.
What can we do more to encourage people to talk to their doctors about falls?
Well, I think it's understanding that falls are not a normal part of aging. And if you fell, that means there's something going on that we haven't addressed yet and that there are remedies for that. They're not normal, and it's not you're allowed 3 falls before we, you know, involuntarily force you into the nursing home. But we can't address those issues with you unless you let us know, any more than you'd ignore a growing bump on your arm or, you know, a sore throat that didn't go away or something else, too. So, again, they're not a normal part of aging, and they can be prevented. So talking to your doctor confidentially about it, no doctor is going to say to you, oh, one fall, well, here's your, you know, one free ticket into a nursing home. They should do a full workup about your gait and your balance, and there's all kinds of evidence-based practices that doctors can do. Many clinics and hospitals around the state have falls clinics. Here in Madison, the UW Health System has 2 falls clinic, one the faint and fall clinic in cardiology, as well as the falls clinic at geriatrics. So they obviously are interested in those to help people prevent a first fall and certainly to prevent a second fall.
Let's take some more calls. We have Bob in Madison with us now. Hi, Bob.
Hello. Well, I didn't fall. I jumped just a short distance off the bumper of the truck down to the ground and broke my ankle.
Oh, my.
I was 64 and didn't realize that we start losing bone density at 50 or 55.
Mm-hmm.
And broke the ankle and had a seizure, and that ended my driving.
Oh.
So you intentionally jumped off the bumper of the truck.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was just a short distance. But it was 4 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm so sorry, Bob. That sounds painful and sad, and as you point out, some consequences you were not planning for it at this stage in your life. Well, you raise an important point about the lack of the decreasing bone density and the decreasing strength. One of the other things that we doctors will look at and we go through in the stepping on class is those strength and balance exercises that have been specially tested to prevent falls. You know, we are all encouraged to lift weights or go for long walks and do aerobic things, and those are good for cardiology, you know, for your heart and other things. But to prevent falls, there is a unique set of exercises that you will be recommended. They also look at your intake of vitamin D and calcium to make sure that you're working on bone strength as well. And probably your days of jumping off the bumper of a truck are over, Bob. So we also teach folks in stepping on about using the preventive framework and where they learn their own self-management of what is it I do that puts me at risk and what are alternative ways that I can get that special Christmas platter that I used to keep, you know, where I have to jump up onto the table to jump up there to get it, or that rickety ladder I use to wash the windows, or getting out of my high truck, or this chair, whatever. So people learn to understand alternative methods of doing the same things that they still want to do to enjoy life, but what's a safer way to do it that will help prevent falls.
Let's thank you, Bob. Sorry about what happened.
Yeah, Megan, very sorry.
Megan in Baraboo is with us now. Hi, Megan.
Hello.
Go ahead. What is your story?
I have been a nurse or in the nursing field for over 15 years now, and as you can imagine, I deal with falls on a daily basis. And two of the things that I would say are really, really pressing and should be at everyone's attention, family members, any caregiver whatsoever, is pain and bathroom needs. So people, as they get older, they tend to have more pain, whether it be from arthritis or previous injuries or whatever have you. And so sometimes they take pain medications, which can cause you to become dizzy or can cause you to have increased risk of falls. But then also, those same pain meds can cause bathroom issues like constipation, or pressure in your abdomen, which make you uncomfortable, which make you move around more. But then also, as you get older, it's harder to respond to your bathroom needs in a timely manner sometimes. And so having that urgency of needing to go to the bathroom right now can oftentimes lead to somebody having a fall.
Because they're rushing to the bathroom.
Right. Yeah. And so if you're addressing ahead of time, sometimes we can prevent falls before they happen. And I've spent many years in long-term care and acute care settings. And, you know, it's just, it takes a collaborative effort from every single person involved in the person's life, whether it be family or caregivers or doctors. And I'm so glad that you guys are talking about it. Definitely need it, because I've seen so many deaths come from falls too. And it's just sad.
Yeah, Megan, those are really good points. I'm going to start with your second one first. The idea of rushing because of that urgency into the bathroom, and that is an issue that I hadn't listed earlier, Joy. And so again, talking with your physician about good strategies to address that, whether it's, you know, preemptive using the bathroom before you need to go and before you feel that urgency, so that you're not rushing there and risking tripping on the bed clothes or, you know, on the skirt of your quilt or whatever, and that, it, as well as installing or having someone install really solid grab bars in your bathroom. Some folks are embarrassed about that. It makes them feel like everybody knows that they're frail or everybody knows that they have those issues, but all that is way better than falling. And I, on that front, I really urge people again to have a qualified person come in and install those grab bars, not to buy the ones over the internet with the suction cups that give you false security, because it's not in your near your toilet nor near in your shower, because you will, you know, grab it and go down too.
Right.
And then Megan raises a really good point about medications, these medications that make you dizzy. Think of all the medications that everyone takes that says don't operate heavy machinery or drive while using these medications. Well, the other thing they should say on them is or walk, because if they're, what they're saying, don't use the machinery or cars, is because it makes you dizzy. Well, if it makes you dizzy, it means that you're going to be dizzy walking as well. So those are very, very hazardous for older adults.
Yeah. We have just a minute before a newscast. We had a listener who couldn't stay with us who said her mother is currently hospitalized for a fall and has been there longer than expected. And she just wanted to say she doesn't think that there are many resources like this in rural areas. Are the programs you're talking about available statewide?
We offer Stepping On, the falls prevention workshop, through our partners in county aging units and aging and disability resource centers in about 65 Wisconsin counties. So I hope that that caller will call her county aging unit, because if they're not offering it now, they certainly need to hear that there's a need for it, an interest and demand for it. And they should put her name on a waiting list and get a program going, or in the meantime, offer her a home assessment or connect her to appropriate healthcare resources, et cetera. So people should speak up and ask for this. As we've identified, this is a public health epidemic, and there needs to be resources everywhere.
We are talking about this public health epidemic of elderly falls. So the death rate in Wisconsin of older people from falls is the second highest in the United States. That's also double the nation's average. And we're exploring why this is and what can be done to prevent elderly falls. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Wisconsin has one of the highest death rates in the country of people over the age of 65 who die from falls, from falling down. And if the fall isn't fatal, it also can lead to serious injuries and comes at a tremendous human and economic cost. We are talking about this epidemic, and we are talking about what we can do to reduce the number of fatal falls or serious injuries from falls among the elderly. 1-800-642-1234. If you have a question or a suggestion or an example, 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Betsy Abramson, the executive director of the Wisconsin Institute for Healthy Aging. She is involved in this effort, involved in what is called Steady Awareness Day, which is today, which stands for Stopping Elderly Accidents, Deaths, and Injuries. And she was quoted in a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel article on the efforts to fight this epidemic of elderly falls. So we have full lines. Let me take another call from Katie in Stevens Point. Hi, Katie.
Hi, Joy.
Hi, Katie.
I'm an occupational therapist at a large hospital here in the central state. On the orthopedic floor, in which I primarily work, I work with a ton of patients who have fallen at home. And I just wanted your callers to all be aware of the role that occupational therapy plays in preventing future falls and making home environments safe for them to return to.
Yeah, so you can give occupational therapy to those who have fallen to prevent falls in the future?
Yes, the nature of occupational therapy is to help restore independence to patients who have suffered illness, injury, or disability. While physical therapy focuses on gait and ambulation and can prescribe walkers and canes and crutches, occupational therapy takes a practical look at the activities that we do every day. Things like using the shower, the bathroom, getting around their home, and preventing falls. So in the hospital, I'm called in along with physical therapy, and I speak to patients and their families about ways to make their homes safer, in addition to addressing cognitive concerns in our elderly that may be contributing to falls.
Yeah,
and Katie, do you go out into people's homes, too, to do that assessment?
I personally don't because I work inside of a hospital environment, but mm-hmm. I often mm-hmm. prescribe home occupational therapy to do a home falls assessment once the patient gets home. And so our role extends into that environment as well. Yeah.
So just for some practical examples, Katie, you might advise a patient of yours to put grab bars in the shower or how to go get that platter at the top shelf a safer way?
Exactly. And we actually get the patients up and moving and see how they're moving now, you know, maybe in light of an injury, and watch how they can get on and off of a toilet or in and out of bed and make our adjustments to that person based upon what we're seeing. So perhaps they need to install a grab bar by their bed, or perhaps they need to sit down when they dress, you know, mm-hmm. some of those adjustments yeah. in their everyday routine to make them safer at home.
Yep, and those are...
Yep, I want to shout out the value of occupational therapists as well, Katie, and I so appreciate your calling. Our Stepping On program, the 7-week falls-based program, was actually developed by an occupational therapist in Australia and then brought to the U.S. and Americanized, and occupational therapists are some of our best providers of the Stepping On workshop. So your role is really invaluable in the whole fight against falls. Thanks so much.
Yeah. I wanted to talk a little bit about what is being done in Wisconsin regarding policy changes or policies needed to fight falls or to prevent these falls.
Well, yesterday, a representative from the CDC was here in Madison, and we, as I mentioned, we had a press conference at the Capitol, and they are urging healthcare providers to adopt the STEADI algorithm and for those providers who use the Epic system to incorporate STEADI so that they ask these questions and then make the appropriate referrals for the appropriate intervention. This use of the STEADI toolkit to screen folks for older adults for falls was implemented in both Oregon and in New York, and clinicians are now screening about 50 to 65% of their older patients for falls risks, and then putting them, recommending them for the right intervention, whether it be a home OT assessment by a colleague of Katie's, or looking at their medications, sending to the ophthalmologist to discontinue bifocals and instead use reading glasses, or hopefully a comprehensive multifactorial program like Stepping On, where we look and work individually with older adults in strength and balance exercises, the vision, the medication, the home assessment, the footwear, the vitamin D and calcium as well. So we're working on that and awareness. So our main objectives are to get providers to screen and older adults to talk to doctors about their concerns if they haven't fallen yet, about a fear of falling, and ask the physician for what would be an appropriate intervention for them, and then to follow up with that. We're also looking, and this came out yesterday in the press conference too, for legislative support through an increased appropriation in healthy aging. As Senator Olson said so eloquently yesterday at the press conference, either we as taxpayers are going to pay for prevention or we're going to pay for treatment. And as all the callers who've mentioned loved ones who have fallen demonstrate, a little prevention would have been so much cheaper than this pound of long-term care, or what Joe was talking about, his grandparents having to move and all that would involve with it. So there was an appropriation in the last biennial budget to support these kinds of programming, and that is slated to sunset next June. And Senator Olson reaffirmed his commitment to entering to working with the legislature and the governor to make sure that the appropriation is made permanent and increases, so we can make sure that programs and interventions are available around the state and in those rural areas, too, that Megan had asked about.
Let's take another call now from Lindsay in Black River Falls. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi, good morning. I'm a speech-language pathologist, and I also work with more of the cognitive aspects of fall prevention. People don't realize there are very hardcore cognitive processes that lead to differentiating what is safe versus unsafe, and kind of coming to terms with that we're not infallible and that we may need to have these supports in place, like a walker or a rollator or those grab bars.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's important work. Thanks for your contribution, too. Yes, and recognizing that walking is more than just your feet. And as you've mentioned now, that it's a cognitive process as well, and all those cylinders have to be working. And if not, what we can do to support people. Don't let pride be in your way. I have a friend who uses a walker in the home, but she says when she goes out, she doesn't like to use the walker because it's too much trouble for the people she's with, and that's obviously a pride issue, right? She'll use it in the home, but outside the home, she thinks she can hang on to her 93-year-old husband, and he is not a secure brace because if she goes down, he's going to go down with her as well. You mentioned the cognitive process, and you had asked earlier, Joy, about some of the other factors. Vision and hearing, which are definitely decreases in vision and hearing are definitely associated with age, can also affect a person's ability to avoid a fall. People with hearing loss are three times, and vision loss are three times as likely to fall as those without. And that's, again, related to this brain where you're working so hard at hearing and you're working so hard at cognition related to your hearing that you're often, your brain doesn't have enough bandwidth to be scanning the environment ahead of you. And you also don't hear the kind of auditory cues that some of the rest of us do that helps us avoid falls.
Let's, one more, Terry in Stevens Point. Hi, Terry.
Hi, how you doing? I'm a truck driver, and I happen to be driver-filling listening to your radio station. My grandmother, she fell in the nursing home because the doctor had accidentally over-medicated her.
Mm.
And the doctor said, well, you know, he failed to realize that at one point in time, she was a certain body weight and had a certain body mass. And then when she lost weight from getting older, the medicine was too strong for
her. I get it. And because we're almost out of time, I mean, medications, so whether they were there was a mistake or whether there's interactions or too many of them, that is a big factor too, isn't it?
That is so sad, Terry. And you just absolutely nailed it. You know, medications have to be calibrated as people get older. What you give a healthy, strong 200-pound 50-year-old is not the same you give your 110-pound grandmother at 85. So a full medication review is so wise. Thank you for bringing up that point, Terry.
Well, in our final minute, what can we do in our communities, or what can we do to increase awareness about this issue and help this issue?
I think we need to talk with older adults about falls, to let them know that there are resources available. Admitting to a fall or a fear of falling is not going to land somebody in a nursing home, that there are so many interventions. We've heard from so many different professions today, speech and language pathologists and occupational therapists and nurses. And we know that people can and should be screened for falls risk, and that there are a myriad of things that can be changed, from the medication that Terry's grandmother is taking to the way the home is arranged, the way Joe talked about his grandfather leaning on the metal card table, to Bob deciding not to jump out of trucks anymore.
Yeah.
and that everyone should call. We encourage folks to call their county aging units and aging disability resource centers to see what kind of resources are available, including that high-level evidence-based workshop, Stepping On, which has been proven to reduce falls by anywhere from 31% to 50% for participants who go through this fun, interesting, with their peers, community-based 7-week workshop.
Thank you so much. Betsy Abramson is the Executive Director of the Wisconsin Institute for Healthy Aging. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.